leg up.
I don't know how you've made it with both your kidneys this far in life, Paul. It's great. You haven't like followed a girl down into an alley and gotten knocked over the head.
No, I'm so paranoid, constantly vigilant, and I don't make eye contact with homeless people.
I think you have to be careful at Carnival. You need to be careful of a woman that might be like really attractive woman, like all of a sudden takes an interest in you, and then all of a sudden, bam, over the noggin.
Well, this summer is going to be interesting because I'm going to Barcelona in Croatia. So I will have to be very careful because I will probably be inebriated for most of this trip.
Who's more likely to dupe you into an organ stealing scam? Is that going to happen in Spain or Croatia? I feel like just by like gross. That seems like a Croatian thing.
Well, I feel like the further east you go, the more distrustful you should be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think as the closer you get to Russia, the worse I'm going to feel about my chances. But Spain, I think it'll be somebody in Spain.
I'm picturing some like misadventure where you end up like waking up in a room and Putin's interrogating you personally.
Well, that would be a waste of time. I would give all the information away immediately. Like I don't have a very high pain tolerance. I wish I could say that I did. Like I like to act like, oh, Paul, you were such a tough guy when you played high school football, and I was, but I am a giant weenie when it comes to things like that.
Well, I think everybody, from what I understand, a torture, everybody cracks a little bit, but it's kind of you crack and then you pull back. Like, but this notion that there's guys that like will not give up anything under circumstance or any situations, I think is kind of false.
What you need to do though
is have the guts to lie early on, so they can't tell. You want to lie as much as you can, so that if you do give up any true information, then they can't tell the difference. That's where torture doesn't work out, is because people are going to talk no matter what, but you can't tell what's the truth and what's false.
So lie. So I'll say
lie first, and then at some point you're going to tell the truth, but they won't be able to tell. They're going to keep torturing you because they're going to think you're still lying. But by then you've done your duty because they don't know what's true and what's fake.
Well, if I said your name, would I get out of trouble? No, I don't think so. I'm not sure if you're valuable enough. If I said Mike Meltzer's name, ex-Russian,
starts selling out your enemies.
Yeah, well, maybe I'd get out. Maybe I'd get out and I'd get to have an Edward Snowden little domicile in Russia or something like that. Okay, the Houston Astros won the World Series in 2017. Things have been great ever since then. Last year was the honeymoon. This season's been fun. They've won 8 in a row. They took down the Tigers last night 5-1. They swept the Tigers. They've won 10 games in a row this season as well. And I'm curious as to where we're at with the Astros and really just the general state of how fans think in this town. And In the Loop had an interesting segment about this yesterday. But to stay with the Astros, Seth, do you get the impression that there's a little more pressure from the fans on the Astros to actually deliver a World Series this year, or are they so likable and so good that you're really just content sitting back and watching the 162, how good they're going to be for most of these games over the 162 before the playoffs, and then in the playoffs you're just like, you know what, whatever happens, happens.
No, I think that people have a very realistic understanding of exactly what the Western, what it looks like in the West. It's just... There's
the AL West, yes.
Yeah, there. Well, sorry, what am I saying? The AL West, the National League, or the American League. I think that people have a realistic understanding of what's like in the American League and the AL East specifically. It's that you've got a few really, really good teams that are going to be beating the snot out of each other for a few years, and whether it's the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Astros. It's you can have the best regular season in baseball. It doesn't matter. You've got to figure out a way to get through a couple of those teams in the playoffs. And I think that's all it is. Now, in basketball, you have this miserable scenario where for several years, you're not going to get past the Warriors, and that's just how it is. And that's a hard thing to accept. Like, that's a hard thing. You can't be comfortable with that. When you say, hey, whether it's the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, you're going to be bashing on each other, and it's really hard to get through the playoffs. But are you ever going to crush the Astros for losing to a really good baseball team in the playoffs? I don't think so, unless, you know, last year, if you didn't have injuries as an excuse, which in a very valid excuse, then you could have been really disappointed in them. But it was just so obvious by the end of the year that the Astros were the classic team that had been beaten down so hard by the championship effort that this is why, you know, like by the end of the year,
it was understandable.
Year, it was one of those moments where I was like, okay, I get it. I've been arguing about how it shouldn't be that big a deal to repeat, but now I get it. Because the fans are tired. Altuve's kneecap is tired. Everybody's beaten down and worn out.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I don't know what it is about me. Perhaps it's greed. But I remembered after the Astros eventually lost to the Red Sox, I was put off by just what felt like a lot of people saying, you know what? It was a good year. They were hurt. The Red Sox were a better team.
Yeah.
And even if that was correct, I was at the point of where I thought to myself, well, they only have a limited amount of time to get these World Series with how good that they are right now. Yeah. This is not going to last forever. It's going to last for the next year, 2 years probably. But how long is it going to last? And I remembered being a little bit put off by the people that were saying, yeah, well, next year, fine. It's next year, fine. It's like, well, yeah, but this year was not squandered necessarily, but this year didn't end the way that you wanted it to.
I don't. See, I guess then that's where you and I disagree, is it just in the sustainability of how long they can keep this up. And going into last year, going into this year, really, when you look at the big names that the Astros were going to potentially lose out on, Springer is one of those guys where people just assumed, okay, it's going to hurt, but they're probably not going to be able to retain him. The thing the Astros do have going for him in that negotiation is that Springer's 30 years old, and that with one more year of arbitration, maybe they can figure something out and you know, like, not take a hometown discount necessarily, but they might work something out. But if I'm looking at this, like, I'm looking at this roster, and they've got four guys on here that are in the conversation for MVP, conceivably, and Altuve's not even one of them at this moment.
I know. So, Altuve, you know, stinks right now. Aledmys Diaz is better.
Yeah, and I think what continues to happen is Luno keeps making moves that don't involve tanking that I'm really happy with. You know, if you get past and beyond the tanking, the moves that Luno's made, and you look at the roster and the guys that are on there from, well, obviously Verlander, Gerrit Cole, all these guys that have nothing to do with tanking are producing. And then you've got, you know, Corbin Martin was a second round pick. That wasn't a tanking pick. That's just a good pick if he continues to pitch the way he has. I feel like it's sustainable for a lot more than just a couple of years. And I'm not being naive about it and saying that, oh yeah, you're going to win four championships or anything like that. But I think that the pipeline is still one of the top pipelines in baseball, and your young stars are so good and so plentiful that I feel good about it.
That is a fair way to look at it. And I think you have a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of patience more so than me. I don't necessarily have it. And I feel that every single year when you don't win, like, I'm mad. Uh-huh. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I don't enjoy sports the way that I should. Maybe I should somehow sit back, go on a retreat, and realize, you know, you should just appreciate the good things in sports, man.
Well, I guess, and you should be, and I think a lot of people were mad about it, but it is also, when you lose to a really good baseball team that's a World Series champion and a rightful one, it's hard to get irate about it because you know how hard it is to win. And it doesn't, like, if you don't lose in a humiliating fashion or go out the way, let's think about the difference between the Rockets, because there's good valid excuses for why the Rockets can't beat the Warriors, but why does it feel so much different when the Rockets can't beat the Warriors than when the Astros can't beat the Red Sox? Is it as simple as that the Astros had just won the year before?
I think so.
It's just having that championship in your back pocket. It just changes. It changes a lot.
And I'm wondering if it changes this year. If they lose in the playoffs, and even if they like play well in a series against theoretically Boston or New York, and they lose, are people going to be like, "Damn it!" Instead of being like, "All right, well, next year."
Right, and because the Astros too, or the Rockets have, but last year they had the extreme regular season success. This year they did not. So if anything, 2 years ago was the time to be really irate about it, because why could you not back up?
Oh, in 2016.
Season? Right,
2016,
right.
Yeah, not 2017.
No,
yeah,
I'm
you're
talking
right.
About the, sorry, I'm talking about the Rockets.
Oh, the Rockets, my bad, sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going back and forth. So, but this year they had to fight and scratch and claw their way back into it, and you almost feel like the Rockets didn't even get... The Rockets, at the end of the day, don't get any credit for what they had to do to get themselves even up to the four seed. Sure, they botched the two seed, but to even be the four seed, they had to fight and scratch their claw and their way back. But somehow you have this image of them as a team that's just underachieving. And I guess it's just simply because you've got the MVP on your roster.
John Lopez has been covering Houston sports for a really long time, and he had a unique perspective on just the mind of the Houston sports fan, which we are discussing. Because look, we all think that the Astros are really good, but a lot of people right now, I don't think they know how to feel about the Houston Rockets. So you'll hear what he had to say on that. Plus, a person that we really respect thinks that the Texans royally screwed this up. You'll hear it all next. Paul Gallant, Seth Payne, Mad Radio Sports Radio 610.